Well, let's get right to work, friends, this morning. Take your Bibles and join me in the book of Proverbs. We'll begin in Proverbs 20, 29. Proverbs 20, 29. My theme in the sessions yesterday and also today is the theme, be before you go. I'm talking about your character. I'm talking about thinking in terms of culmination. All that God has done in your life, in this place, through His work, by His Spirit, to bring you to a place of culmination. Perhaps for many of you, that's graduation tomorrow, in which, yes, you're going to go. You have to go. They're going to make you go. And some of you are ready to go, right? You're ready to jump out of this place and see what the Lord has next. And I want to encourage you on this day to be ambitious for the work of the Lord. Now, the first two items that we talked about, be before you go, was yesterday, be humble and be disciplined. Now, by nature, those land on our hearts sort of heavy. You know, when we talk about being humble, automatically there's a sense of regret and repentance for how proud we naturally are and the need for the Lord to rein that in. And that's good. And then also, we talked about be disciplined, not so much as you disciplining yourself, but rather being open-handed to the ways in which God Himself will discipline you for your good and for your growth. But even that landed a little heavy. So those two themes of be before you go sort of brought us low. Today, I want to turn that around, and I want to exhort and encourage and build you up. As you go, to be the things that God created and has planned beforehand, all of those good works that you should walk in them, your future is bright. Your opportunities are amazing. The rest of us have some sense that we wish we could go back and put ourselves in your place and live again the joys of going through college, graduating, and finding out in new, fresh ways all of those wonderful experiences that we reminisce about from those years in our lives. So this morning, I want to discuss, be wiser than your years. Be before you go. You know, when God digs deep, He intends to build tall. And if you'll do or allow Him to do the work of humbling you, and disciplining you as He digs deep in those matters of character, He's then going to open up opportunities to use you for His glory in amazing ways. He's going to build tall on that foundation. So all of the hard experiences are intended for a future opportunity to do wonderful things for the Lord Jesus Himself. And in order to do that, you need to be wiser than your years. And you can be. I want to talk specifically about age and wisdom from the book of Proverbs this morning. Age and wisdom. And they too are connected to the fear of the Lord. Those who will serve in the fear of the Lord. Well, that term, a God-fearer in the Old Testament, is nothing more than a godly person in Old Testament terms. They find in their heart, and I hope this is true of you, I hope this is true of me, they are humbled and overwhelmed by God, yet bound to Him through trust and obedience. And they live their whole life that way, in the fear of the Lord. But this morning, be wiser than your years. That brings us to Proverbs 20, verse 29. And that proverb says this, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray head." Now, it has been a lot of fun to be able to preach with my dad. And we've never done this before. I mean, there have been occasions, rare occasions, that I have preached for him in a church setting, which it was his pulpit. And there's been other occasions where he's preached for me and it's been my pulpit. But the majority of our ministries, at least 17 years of that time, for me in pastoral ministry, we were separated on Sundays because of the nature of our work. And also, we lived in different states, so we never saw each other, ministered with each other in that context. Never saw each other on Father's Day or Mother's Day or a Good Friday service or Easter Sunday or at Christmas Eve candlelight service, always in different places. And it's been a huge blessing in my life. I shared a little bit about my dad growing up without a father and the joy that I have to have my father and mother being great, great, wonderful grandparents, or as we call them, Pawpaw and Granny, to my three kids as they live close to us now. It's invaluable for us. And I get to see this opportunity to minister together here. It's been so cool. I've looked in history, but other times in which fathers and sons have gotten to do cool things. And I've grown up my life being a Cincinnati Reds fan. When I was in Little League, when I first played Little League, I was probably 6 years old. They just put me on the Reds, but I lived in North Carolina. I'd never heard of the Reds before, but I started looking in the paper, and there was never a write-up about the Cincinnati Reds. You know, this wasn't the 1970s with a big red machine. This was like the mid-80s, and all they had was the box score, but I watched the box score every morning after the games, and so I learned the players' names, the positions they played, and then I just from there began to build to be a Cincinnati Reds fan. But I really love the father-son duo. They re-signed Ken Griffey Sr. at the tail end of his career to play along with Ken Griffey Jr. I love them best when they played with the Reds jersey. But before that even happened, when Ken Griffey Jr. was an amazing all-star and MVP, he played in Seattle for the Mariners. He played alongside his dad. And when they played together, it was on September the 14th, 1990. They were batting beside each other in the lineup. And on that date, father and son got up to bat, first the father, then the son, and they hit back-to-back home runs. In the same, only time it's happened in Major League Baseball history. Ken Griffey Sr. was 40 and Ken Griffey Jr. was 20. Now, how cool is that? The only thing that can top that is preaching alongside your dad and doing something that is actually eternal in insignificant. I loved your prayer. Lord, do something eternal. Just one thing in our hearts that's eternal that will never leave us for the rest of our lives. Well, this is going to be an experience that I will remember forever. So that's on my mind when I'm preaching to you and also a bit to myself. You know, the Lord really does want you to be at 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. He wants you to be wiser than your years. And that there are things that you can learn by experience and age. But friends, you have in your hand the eternal Word of God. There is a wisdom in Scripture and a wisdom that comes through Christ that is superior to any of the experience that you could ever put on a resume, any of the opportunities you could ever have to then build upon. So when you think of yourself, you're like, I've never had any opportunity to do these things. And yet there's a yearning, there's an ambition, there's a desire to serve the Lord in my heart. In God's Word, there is wisdom enough to do the things that you have never done before and to do them excellently and for the glory of God. It's in the Word. The power is in the Word. And if you will feast upon the Word, you will learn a wisdom that is superior to your age. And it's okay. People will look at you and say, how did you... They just will learn. And it's not you. It's God's Word poured through you and your personality. Proverbs describes how that type of wisdom comes to the young and then how that wisdom is seasoned and matures through the years and through the growing into age. And if you're really ambitious this morning, I promise you, age will come faster than you like. It will come faster than you expect. Slow down. Enjoy every moment serving the Lord. Enjoy every year. Don't rush through this weekend. Linger at the dining room table at lunch and the dinner table tonight. Some of the greatest friends you'll ever have are still in this room, and you're never going to have this concentrated time with them. Slow down and enjoy every moment, every hug, every word of of encouragement this weekend, because the days are going fast and age will come soon and life will go quickly. This proverb is pointing to that. It contrasts the young men from the old men. I won't do it, but we could kind of divide the room today by a certain age and put some on one side and some on the other. But Proverbs 20:29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray head." It actually points to hair color as a sign of wisdom. Now, it's an expectation of wisdom. The gray hair there in the poetic beauty of Hebrew poetry is assuming that gray hair represents wisdom by experience. It's a symbol of honor and achievement, just like a battle scar from war. Someone could point to a cut or a wound that's healed over, and they could recount a whole story of bravery and courage. So hair is represented in the aged life. The faded color of the hair points to experiences that mark one's life. You've experienced some things. You've had some ups and downs, and it lends credibility to those to whom you're speaking to. Now, in Proverbs, this gray hair is not Samson-like. So if you choose that somewhere along the way to add a few highlights, that's completely fine with the Lord. You're not violating any scriptural text. You're not losing any of your wisdom. If you blend the gray away, it's fine. No worries with that whatsoever. This is just symbolic in Scripture to say the gray hair, when you know it's coming in, it's revealing to you that you've had life experiences that should, if you've walked with God, it should lend itself to a wise person. Proverbs is poetic in that way. And here's what it will say to us about age. Age. Age is essential to wisdom, but not essentially wisdom. Just getting older actually doesn't make you wise, but the aging process in time itself matures the wisdom that which God has put into your heart. I mean, let's be honest. There are plenty of people in their 70s and 80s are just as foolish today as they were when they were 16. There are people who have not walked with God and squandered the years that they have had and made a shipwreck of their lives, and they have the scars of life to prove it. And you could listen to them talk to you, but they give you no wisdom at all. They give you worldly wisdom that is not godly at all. And so Proverbs is speaking in a different way. It's saying to you, age is essential to wisdom. It will mature wisdom as you have experience. But age itself is not itself essentially wisdom. Certain things can only be learned by time and experience, but time and experience do not guarantee that you're going to learn that lesson and be able to apply it in a way that honors God in the future. So if we have to narrowly go through this path to be more mature than our years or wiser than our years, how are we going to do that according to Proverbs? Let me give you three ways in which Proverbs is going to lead down that path. The first way is that wisdom in part, this is what we've been saying, grows with age. You have to get older. I say to my kids, my younger ones are not here yet this morning. It's a long stretch for 11-year-old and 7-year-old to sit through all these services, but they'll be back tonight. And I say to my 7-year-old, because I can still, you know, put her up in my lap and cuddle with her. And I say to her, you know, Dad just wants you, don't grow anymore. Dad likes you just the way you are. Let's keep you just this age. And she'll look at me and she'll say, no, Daddy, I've got to get big. I got to get big like Titus, or I got to get big like Chloe. She knows I'm kidding with her. She knows that I realize she has to grow. But I'm being honest. I would love to keep her, captivate her in that same frame of body. But she's growing physically. She's also growing up here. She's learning to read and being able to sound out things. Her mind is being able to think more clearly. And you too are continuing to grow. And wisdom in part has to grow as you age. Now, Proverbs 20:29, what do we learn from that proverb? It's simply telling us that the proverb may serve to motivate young men to really take advantage of their strength when they're young. That's where your advantage is, young guys. Yeah, you can stay up till 1:30 getting your homework done and bounce out of bed at 6 o'clock, you know, take a 10-minute shower and you're off the next day. Later on in life, things don't move that quickly. Okay, you can't do those things on the weekend then come back. If you want to serve at Alpine this summer, do it now, because later on in life, there's not going to be a lot left of you to do that at that age. You've got to be a little wiser on how you allocate your energy and spend your energy. You want to lift weights? You want to run a marathon? Or maybe I talked to some did ultra marathons after the service yesterday. You want to do those? Do them now. The knees won't let you do it later. Do it now. Enjoy it now. Use that strength. Glory in that strength now. The Proverbs, this proverb in no way is saying, oh, you really shouldn't enjoy the age of your youth and your strength. No, listen, I want you to go hard after the Lord and hard after Christ and use everything that you have in your physical strength to serve the Lord as long as He gives you strength. But it also says to us, verse 29, not only does it motivate young men towards wisdom, but it encourages old men in their weakness. And it just shows to us that every season of life has its joys, but for different reasons. Wisdom grows through years of righteous living. So wisdom in part grows with age. So let me give you another proverb. Proverbs 16, verse 31. If you want to go there, you can. But this is what it says. The hoary head, referring to gray hair again, that gray head is a crown of glory. But I love the way the King James Version deals with it here. Not every version does. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. It is not to be the assumption that just with age, age itself brings wisdom. That's not the point. The point is, have you spent those years in the way of righteousness? That's how wisdom grows within you. So if you're still in your teens, if you're still in your early 20s, you have decades, Lord willing, ahead of you in order to live in the way of righteousness so that you may grow in wisdom. So don't waste any moment of it. Don't waste any semesters. Don't waste any days. Employ every one of them for the purpose of growing in wisdom, because you will find, and the reason I'm being so urgent on this point, is that those years go by all so quickly. All so quickly, you'll be in your 40s, and then you'll be in your 60s, and then you'll have only wisdom left to share with those who are behind you. So use them now. The reality, as we look at our bodies and half the crowd, we can attest to this. What begins physically and mentally as pure and beautiful ends broken and spent. Now, my wife and I got married when we were in Bible college. We got married between our junior and our senior years. So we spent our final year in Bible college married, and it was the best experience of our lives. But we got married when we were 21. But somewhere along the way, I read in a magazine article that a man's physical conditioning peaks about the age of 25. And I read that somewhere around when we got married. But I used to tease my wife when the years, and we're the same age, so when we were 20, I used to say to her often through my 25th year, honey, I just want you to look at this. This is the best that it's ever going to be our whole married life. I hope you like what this 25-year-old version of me looks like. And she'll remember this. I constantly, that whole year, it was the only year I had to say it over and over again. And that's been almost decades in the past. And I was probably right. That probably was the peak, and it's gone. And now things change as you age. And that's what you find out. What begins as pure and beautiful ends in broken and spent. And you know what? We do slow down. We do feel at a certain point in our life like there's less ahead than there is behind. And it dramatically affects the way you think. And you're going to need wisdom for that stage of life. Don't waste the years until you get there. They'll go by all so quickly. we think about that. Wisdom that leads. We need to know that wisdom that is found in the gospel and wisdom that is found in the godly life is eternal, and the reward for that wisdom is never lost. So in the sense, when you understand that your body is fading away and your mind is fading away, you realize that as even we struggle in our culture where we're so advanced, right? We have so much medicine that can help us. We recognize that we can't stop the aging process and dreaded, fearful diseases like dementia and Alzheimer's taking away our memory. Do you understand that this wisdom is telling us that if wisdom led us in our early days to the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that He shed His blood upon the cross, that when we believed in Him and we received Him as our Savior, we recognized that His blood was the sacrifice that paid the penalty for our sins so that we could be forgiven eternally and given heaven as our eternal home, that even though our memory may fade of that decision, rather, the gospel and that godly life, the reward is never lost. Jesus never lets us go. God never forgets. Say to your loved one whose memory is fading, rehearse to them the good news of the gospel. They may forget it every 10 minutes, but as you share the gospel again and again, it's confirmation that the God of heaven heard their prayer and has saved them forever. And they are not lost. 1 Timothy 4 verse 8 is very similar to Proverbs 20 verse 29. It says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." Why is that? Having promise of the life that now is. But the reason that it's superior, godliness is superior to exercise, is because it has a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So the belief and the godliness and the wisdom that's gained early never fades, even if our memory of it fades. Our God, who will resurrect a dead body, can and will restore a lost memory in the resurrection of the righteous. So wisdom, in part, grows with age. Let me give you a second point of how to walk down this path of being wiser than your years. Wisdom is enabled by wiser friends. By wiser friends. Now, this is one of the blessings of Bible college, because you make friends here. But listen to Proverbs 4, 3, and 4. Even in family settings, I've had the joy in my home. Some of you have your parents here. Some of your parents are traveling in. The reason you're in a Bible college is because you have godly parents who love you, who have done this very work of wisdom in your life. Proverbs 4, 3 and 4 says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live." Now, if you ponder and you think about those verses for just a minute, you'll discover that there are three generations in Proverbs 4, 3, and 4. There is a father speaking to a son about his grandfather. You know, Proverbs 17, 6 says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." The honor, the love, the relationship that's connected between these generations of godly, wise saints. There is compounding wisdom, compounding honor, compounding joy when it's passed generationally. Now, my father-in-law, who's also a wonderful man and a believer, in fact, my in-laws are in Slovakia. Right now, they're filling in for missionaries in the eastern part of Slovakia for the next 3 months. They just left last week. And my mother-in-law was asking me, they're going to be spending their 50th anniversary in Slovakia. And they were saying to us, "Well, we wanted to do something fun over there for our 50th anniversary. What do you think we should do?" And we were sitting around the table. This was Easter dinner. And so my wife and her brother were suggesting some things, and they're like, "Well, why don't you go to Poland, do that, or maybe, you know, go over to Vienna, Austria. We hear it's beautiful." And I just piped up. I said, "I think, you know, Kyiv is beautiful this time of year. Maybe y'all should go over into Ukraine. You visit Kyiv. The hotels are inexpensive this time of year. There's usually drone shows at night." And my mother-in-law, she didn't catch on that I was just teasing her about going into the war zone for her 50th anniversary. I don't think she took me up on it at all. But my father-in-law has a saying, and he said it ever since our first daughter was born. He said, "Grandchildren are God's reward for not killing my own." And the wisdom that he was sharing with us was Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are the crown of old men. You know, some of you know this. It's amazing the joy grandchildren bring to their grandparents. The joy, the life, the cuddles, the experiences, reliving old memories. Why? It's even exponentially true when wisdom is enabled by generations of wise living and wise thinking. Wisdom is best shared and received in relationships, and your friendships fit into that category. This is why discipling is the normal means by which we become wise. We're not done being wise. We need to continue to learn. There are tragic examples of this in the Old Testament where leaders would not listen to older, wiser leaders, and it led to catastrophe in their leadership. 1 Kings chapter 12 is the story of King Rehoboam. And the question would be, would Rehoboam lead harshly like his father once he was coronated and ascended to the throne? And you remember the story from 1 Kings 12 that the older counselors said to King Rehoboam, those counselors had served under Solomon. And what they said to him is, "When you take the throne, go light. Go light." But then King Rehoboam listened to younger counselors, and they said the exact opposite thing. They said, "Show them who's boss. Show them that you can be tougher than your father even was. Put them in their place underneath your rule." And what did he choose to do? Well, 1 Kings 12 verse 8 says, "But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up, that had grown up with him, and which stood before him." And civil war was the result between Israel and Judah under his watch, because he didn't take the wiser counsel of those who had experiences ahead of him. One of the ways to be wise beyond your years is to borrow the wisdom of years from people who are ahead of you. Listen to them. Receive from them. It's the normal, natural handoff from the older to the younger. And students, I want to encourage you, you need wisdom even to choose who to listen to and who to learn from. I always tell, in my encouragement, I've actually tried to practice this in my own life repeatedly. Even now, I continue to practice this. Get yourself two types of mentors on two levels. This will enable you to have wiser, older friends. Two types of mentors. The first mentor is someone that's just ahead of you in life. So you're a sophomore, look for a senior. You know, you're an intern, look for a pastor. Maybe you're single and you are thinking about getting engaged. You and your potential fiancé, talk to someone who's recently married. Are you married? Look for someone who has kids, a few kids. Ask them questions. Learn from them. They're dealing with things that are within a few years of what you're going to soon experience. So you want to lean into their relationship. You want to draw out of it truth and wisdom that you can immediately apply, because they're experiencing things just ahead of you that you're about to experience. So find someone that fits that category, that's doing what you want to do, one step ahead of you, and develop a relationship with that person and learn from them. Dig for advice, invite their prayer, and ask a ton of questions. That's one type of mentor. And then it's already been alluded to this morning, but I definitely had already intended to mention it. The second mentor is to find one who has finished in life what you want to accomplish. So what's your biggest dream? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? To be wiser beyond your years is to find someone who's already finished that. Now, the reason you want to find someone who's already done with it in their latter years, in their retirement years, is for a couple reasons. One is they have a whole lifetime of experience to share with you, and you would be surprised how eager and willing and excited they would be to share that with you. But also, you want to find those who have already finished, because there's less of an opportunity for them to disappoint you in this life. You see, one of the most tragic things you'll discover along the way is some of your greatest mentors that you put hope in, that you kind of modeled your life after, that if you could trade places, you would put yourself in their shoes. Somewhere along the way, you're going to find out many of them disappoint you in this life, and it's a great discouragement to you. So find one that's already done. One that you can learn from, one that's accessible to you, and learn from them. That's how you can be wiser than your years. Let me give you one more point, and that is, as you start that journey, wisdom begets more wisdom. It's like compounding interest. If you're able to learn one piece of wisdom, wisdom starts to gather around that one idea, and then you start listening and learning, and you listen to this podcast, you read that book, you take that class, and you have that mission trip experience, and all of a sudden, wisdom's just coming from different places, and you get to piece it together like Legos in your mind and draw from it. Proverbs 9:11, "For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." Wisdom's appealing to you and saying, if you'll listen to me, if you'll gain me, you'll discover you'll have more time to serve the Lord. Proverbs 10, verse 27, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." I want you to have 50, 60 years to glorify God if He gives you that opportunity. I don't want you to end in a shipwreck. I don't want you to throw away the opportunities that are afforded simply because you are no longer wise. Wisdom begets wisdom. Wisdom will give you more time. It will give you more years. More time means more experience. More experience means more wisdom. It will compound with a lifetime faithfully practicing the wisdom that brings divine protection and the providential fulfillment of all of God's purposes in your life. So are you ambitious this morning? Do you want to do everything that God has planned for you? Then be wise beyond your years. Leverage the wisdom of others. Glory in your strength. Mature as you age. Begin with wisdom from the Bible and move forward from there. Because wisdom grows by multiplication. With wisdom, time and age. Well, wisdom, time and age, it's on your side, right? Strength, time's not on your side. You know, ability, time's not on your side. Opportunity, time's not on your side. Wisdom, time and age is always on your side. It's always profitable to be wise. So I can assure you, it's true for every one of us. You're not getting any younger. But I can also say that's not even the question. We don't want to make ourselves look younger. Rather, the question is, are we getting wiser as we're getting older? Be wiser than your years. Be before you go. Father, thank you for the word that gives us the wisdom that we need. And Lord, we have to pray and ask daily that you would give us wisdom for decisions, for obedience, for faithfulness. And Lord, I'm preaching to students that have huge decisions ahead of them in life. Where to go to school next, whether to stick with it, who to marry, where to go, how to serve, what is your purpose for me? Lord, I pray that you would give to them wisdom, that they would do and say and be the very servants who fear the Lord that will glorify you all the days of their life. Multiply their years, I pray, Lord, by multiplying their wisdom. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.